Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Wednesday, the day we try to understand what we read in the Bible yesterday. Yesterday we read a passage from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 53, that's kind of known as the Song of the Suffering Servant. It describes this mysterious servant. We read it yesterday and I asked you to just pay attention to where you heard little hints or signs that might point to Jesus. Because it wasn't long after Jesus walked on the earth that people realized he sounded an awful lot like the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. These words of Isaiah, spoken for God, were written down in a time when the nation of Israel was really in an uncertain state. They were supposed to be God's chosen people, and yet they weren't feeling very chosen. There were pressures on the outside of their country, and there were divisions on the inside. And so it's a challenging time, and God's words through Isaiah were meant to provide some reassurance on the one hand that they were God's chosen people, he had a plan, he would care for them, but also to challenge them to kind of get with the program because they had been really straying from God's ways and not exactly showing the world that they were God's chosen people. And so there was at once challenge and encouragement. Now this passage is more on the encouragement side of things for Israel. It was meant to tell them that even though they felt they were in danger, that they might not even survive as a people, God did have a plan for them as a people. And he had a plan to send an anointed one, a suffering servant, a Messiah, a Christ. He was letting them know that he had this plan, that even though the kings of their time were no good, there was a time when there would be another king, and in the same style as King David was their greatest king, God was going to send an even better king. David was pointing forward to the perfect king still to come, and Isaiah was speaking about him in this passage as well, that there would be an anointed one, a Messiah, a Christ, who would come and make right everything that was wrong around them. 500 years after that, Jesus walked the earth, and people started to notice the parallels between Jesus and this suffering servant. For example, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now Jesus was God in the flesh, come to earth, to walk among us, to serve us, and to help us with our biggest problem, our problem with sin and death. He was meant to be the greatest news possible for our human race. He was the greatest gift God could give us. He was exactly what we needed at exactly the right time. And yet, we humans rejected him, despised him, murdered him like a criminal, putting him on a cross to die in public. All these things happened despite him being our greatest gift. He was exactly what was described in this passage 500 years before he walked on the earth. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows. But his death was meaningful and effective, and it had sort of a sacrificial element to it. You can hear this in how the Bible says, "So shall he sprinkle many nations." That might not mean much to us, but what it meant was that he would cleanse many nations. There was a lot of sprinkling and cleansing that had to happen in the sacrificial system that the Israelites would have used, where some kind of an animal or another gift would be able to stand in for the person and would be able to pay the price for that person's sins. It needed to be a perfect, clean animal, and there would have been some cleansing involved in preparation for that sacrifice to symbolize what was going to happen when that sacrifice happened. The washing away of sins. This is all language you'll recognize was used about Jesus. Jesus was a sacrificial lamb. Jesus washed away our sins with his blood, the blood of the lamb. This is all the imagery used about Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross, and it's the same imagery that was in Isaiah's prophecy 500 years before that. It's especially meaningful that Jesus went to his death quite willingly, perhaps we could say even quietly, and that's how this story describes the suffering servant going to his death quietly, like a lamb to the slaughter. The connections between the kingship of David, the connections to the sacrificial system, and the connections to Jesus are all there. Jesus ties together all these different threads in the Bible. They all point to him. In all these ways, Jesus is portrayed as a victim, not a perpetrator of violence. And this would have been, in many ways, the opposite of what the Israelites wanted to hear from Isaiah. They wanted to hear that there was coming a Messiah who would fight back against their oppressors. For the next 500 years, they would have wanted to hear that. When the Romans were oppressing the Israelites, they wanted to hear that. And many people were still expecting that as Jesus came and broke that mold and said, I'm actually the Messiah, I'm actually the suffering servant, and I'm not going to do what you expected, I'm going to do what you need. The Bible also says they made the suffering servant's grave with the wicked and with the rich. There's a bit of a weird dichotomy there, but we see that in how Jesus died. He died alongside criminals, one on either side of him, also on crosses. But then he was actually laid to rest in the tomb of a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea. So you can see a lot of suggestive things there that point to Jesus. There are others as well. The thing about the kings might have some connections to the way Jesus was shuffled around between different rulers who didn't quite want to deal with the political problem he presented, and so on. However, I've got a question for you to just think about first for today. What hints do you see about the meaning of the suffering servant's death? What was it supposed to accomplish? Hope you have a great discussion. Don't forget, we read the Bible in sync as a community too, so check our website or app to see what today's reading is. So, have a good one. I'll see you tomorrow.